Joining us on the programme today is Andrew St. Ledger, who is the PRO of the Woodland League. Now, of course, many of our listeners will be familiar with the Woodland League and its aims. Anyway, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ronnie.
Now, Andrew, we've been talking about this for quite some time, but yes. Basically what you are looking for is a public inquiry into the Queelcha public forest asset stripping.
We are. That's the latest press release that we put out, was having examined the Queelcha annual accounts between 2009 and 2013. That would be the 2010 accounts and the 2011 accounts. We discovered that they had sold massive amounts of trees to pension funds. And, you know, in 2009, this privatisation issue was raised with the McCarthy report. And since then, it looks like the asset stripping has accelerated. What we knew in 2009 was Queelcha were in debt to the tune of $179 million in regards to their pension funds,
right.
Their own pension deficit. And they, in 2009, they would have recorded a loss of $29 million on their books had they not sold $33 million worth of trees to pension funds.
Right.
This brought their accounts over, you know, made them show a profit, or made them look like showing a profit of $4 million. And they've done this subsequently into 2010 and in 2011. They've transferred over $30 million worth of assets to pension funds.
Right.
And they're involved themselves in the pension fund business through IFUT, Irish Forest Unit Trust. Queelcha used 15 million punts worth of public forests as equity to join up with AIB, Bank of Ireland, and Irish Life to set up this pension fund.
Yeah.
Well, we just think it's quite a bizarre situation that public forest assets have been used in this way. And we don't think that's what our public forest should have been directed towards whatsoever.
Yeah, it's...
Like the company, granted a gift of over 1 million acres of forest to manage wisely on behalf of the public. They obviously have not done this if they're unable to profitably run a business with such a gift, that they're having to offload, sell large tranches of public trees to inject capital into the business.
Yeah.
We have to remember this company accumulated profits of over $400 million since 1989. And again, we have to ask, what happened to those profits? How did they end up having a pension deficit in the company of $179 million? Was this orchestrated? That's the question we're asking. Having such a deficit, they would be forced to, what they're aiming to do is to, they're trying to cut that deficit back, which they obviously have done, selling these large tranches of trees. But it's, in effect, what's happening is they're passing public assets over into the private sector via pension funds.
Yeah, I mean, it does beg a lot of questions. As you say, in 22 years, they amassed profits of $400 million,
yeah.
Paid virtually no dividends to the state.
Hardly any. I mean, very little. They, in their accounts, actually, in 2010, I think, they paid €40 million tax in Holland via a company.
Okay.
A subsidiary of Queelcha. They've also paid tax in the UK with another subsidiary. So we'd like to know, what are those subsidiaries doing, and how come this company who've paid very little tax in Ireland is paying so much in Holland?
Yeah, well,
what's
going
on there?
Begs the question. I mean, this is a body set up by Irish politicians,
yeah.
In the interests of the people of Ireland.
Using Irish public asset.
Yeah, and yet not paying any tax here. Also... apparently in 2011, Quilter paid its CEO $473,000.
Yes.
And this is despite a cap on salaries.
Yep.
Another bit of sleight of hand, I think, there.
There is. And, you know, there are just too many discrepancies in regard to their activities.
Absolutely. And, of course, the thing is, they're about to sell off another 1,000 acres in Donegal.
Well, that's part of an ongoing strategy. You know, we had a question asked in the Dáil regards the full amount of land that they've been selling. Like, they've sold over 40,000 acres since they were set up.
Right.
For different, you know, for... During the boom, in particular, they were selling sites for houses, and again, we don't believe that should have been. It's part of their remit as the forest managers of the public forest estate to be engaged in development. And in actual fact, their behaviour during the boom time was that of the largest land development company in Ireland.
Yeah.
Let's not forget they sold the site to Shell in Mayo, in Rossport, and they sold large sites as well for wind farms, for inappropriate, unsustainable wind farms that have caused major environmental damage. On three occasions, the Quilter wind farm sites had serious landslides,
right,
which led to massive loss of fish and damage to streams and rivers. And also the local communities' devastation and trauma. Not to mention, again, property values in those communities being completely diminished. Derry Brine, for instance, an abandoned community, you could say, who are still going through the courts so many years later, over 10 years later, they have an appeal to the Supreme Court looking for justice as to what happened in their community.
Yeah, well, just to come back with some figures, since it was created, they've sold 40,000 acres of public land. One of the things that you mentioned and bothers me a great deal, because I didn't know about it,
yeah,
apparently most of the sales have gone to the Irish Forest Unit Trust, which was basically a pension or hedge fund.
Well, we believe, it's an umbrella group of pension funds.
Yeah, but where was the public interest in that?
Well, this is the question, because the Irish Forest Unit Trust is a private company.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not, its shareholders, its shareholders in a way are investors, you could say.
Right.
You know, I mean, whose identities we don't know. It fronts for charities as well. Again, there's no list available of who these charities are, what they do. And as I say, it sets up forest funds. And it's been buying up forests.
Yeah, no, it's just the fact that...
Since 1994, it was set up in 1994, 1 year after the Pension Act, pension legislation was set up by Bertie Ahern.
Right.
And that pension legislation curiously says this act does not apply to Quilter. So that's another point of clarification needed for the public. Why is that the case?
Absolutely. As I say, because a lot of this is new to me, what I'm concerned
but
is
sorry,
the
public interest in Irish Forest Unit Trust, funny when you say it, the fact that the people have bailed out AIB, the banks and Bank of Ireland, and Irish Life, I think, a number of years ago, if I'm
yes,
correct. So the Irish state has a stake in those banks. Therefore, I suppose in a way you could argue that the Irish people now are part owners of IFUT. However, there's no transparency really or accountability as to the activities of this group, who are, as I say, made up of ex-Quilter people with bankers and run by AIB and Bank of Ireland people.
Right. Listen, what can the public do? You're calling for a public inquiry. You want people to get onto their TDs, do
yeah.
you? And say, we need an open discussion on this matter.
We do. We need an independent inquiry. We don't want another tribunal. Waste of time, waste of space.
Yeah, absolutely. And think of all the poor trees who would be killed to print the report when it's finally finished.
I know. There needs to be, I don't know, wasn't there some Oireachtas Committee inquiries that seem to be more effective than tribunals?
Yes.
There needs to be probably a repeat of that Oireachtas Committee.
Yeah, well, maybe we can get it moving in the Senate first of all and then brought to the main chamber.
Yes, but I suppose in the meantime, we're just asking people to think about this. Yes, certainly contact their elected representatives and be aware, you know, that this very valuable public resource has been mismanaged and that it potentially could provide a lot more employment and dividends for the public in these dire times. A different model, you know, a reformed Caolte could be working for the people rather than for private interests.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
To this end, again, we have maintained a petition on our website. There's an online petition that's now heading for 33,000 signatures online, and we have over 4,000 hard copy.
Right.
So we'd ask people to also ramp up those signatures because that's a mandate. The mandate is within in the petition. It's calling for a reform of forest policy, as well as the stopping the sale of public forests, public trees.
Yeah.
So it's two pronged. And, you know, if you think about it, a TD is elected on less than 15,000 votes. So with over 30,000 signatures, we could, in effect, say we have the mandate of two elected representatives there.
Absolutely. Well, look, the website is, for more information anyway, it's www.woodlandleague.org.
Yeah.
And they'll find the petition. Links the petition there. And as I say, while they're thinking of that, think of another 1,000 acres in Donegal for those people who've holidayed there over the years. Think what the scenery would look like if around the sort of the rented cottage or house you're in, 1,000 acres was denuded, and that'll give you an idea of what it's having effect on the environment.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, well, look, Andrew St. Ledger, many thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Ronnie.